Hello.
Haley, it's Jim.
Hi there. Yes, I was just looking up that one site there with Roger Dean Craig.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the officers that found that Mauser.
Sure.
And they were reading the barrel where it was marked that it was a Mauser.
That's all really familiar. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But what's so sickening is on that video, they played it over and over, Cronkite and all the news guys.
Yeah.
Saying first Mauser, the next day it was, and Cronkite couldn't even pronounce it properly.
The Mannlicher Gargano.
That's right. When I looked at that, but that's what killed me. I watched that yesterday, and where Craig was there with that buddy Walters was on the south side looking for the the spent cartridges or whatever fragments.
Yeah.
And in that photo, I said, which is on that the killing of a president on page 62,
mm-hmm.
Is Clyde coming down to meet my brother in that station wagon. So in that video, he talks about that because the car was going right by them.
Oh, Walter Cronkite talks about it?
Yeah, so this is very, very important. And in the video it says, well, he heard a shrill whistle. My brother always whistled, putting the two fingers in his mouth.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And that's the way when Clyde would come to our house or vice versa, that's the way they communicated. Because I told my mother I didn't want the barrels of Mausers and all these things pointed at my head all the time. So Clyde would come up this ladder, but he would, put this shrill whistle. So anyway, what happened is he feels remorseful from the point of view that he wanted to arrest the two because he thought it was suspicious. Now, he says that the
Roger
car...
Roger Craig, yeah.
Yeah, Roger Dean Craig. So he says the make of the car wrong, but he said the color pretty well. He said it was green. It was turquoise, which you would call
right.
it a bluey green, right?
Right.
But it was a two-tone. So, and on the back was the Barry Goldwater for president, and I don't know, some Ku Klux Klan thing, because I saw it. I photographed it. You know, the amount of stuff that they destroyed in my apartment makes me sick. But that was the whole idea, They had to get rid of everything that I had because I had major physical evidence.
It may be the reason you're still alive.
Well, yeah, I think, that's why they called me in, to the police there. They asked me, do I have any evidence? And I said, who, me?
Yeah.
Shit. What am I going to say, after what they've done to me?
Right.
Oh, my God. But, what's sick is three gay guys went missing all in a few days of each other. Clyde and my brother, they used to go hooker hunting and fag hunting.
You mean to kill them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were doing snuff films and God knows what they were doing there. So, anyway, the amount of people that died was 177. Roger Craig lived through being shot and then a bomb, at his house.
Yeah.
And they said that he had, the official story, which is, again, a lie, right, that he committed suicide. That's full of shit. It's the same as that... Dimon Shield. Did I say it right again?
Yeah, you said it right.
Anyway, yeah, but anyway, this is what's scary. I started looking up because I was reading all the comments. I noticed that you had posted through a source that there could be an attack or whatever. And why I was, saying it is there was this huge rubber ducky that came floating into the Hong Kong Harbor. It's almost like a Trojan horse.
How recently?
Now this one, if you just put rubber ducky, I'll give you the, and you'll find it. Rubber ducky is It was on Friday, May the 3rd, 2013, in the Toronto Sun. It had a picture of it. Now, what happened was it deflated. All of a sudden, this whole big duck, you know, it just ended up being flat, like almost like an egg yolk on the water in the Hong Kong harbor. I thought, goodness grief. They sent this rubber ducky floating into France, Australia, all over the place.
When did this happen?
On May the 13th, I think it deflated.
Of this year?
Of this year.
Now,
this is what was strange, is why I'm using the rubber ducky, like I said, during the Second World War, D-Day, which is today, right? D-Day was a code word for Donald Duck. That's the way they
D-D.
Donald Duck. So they don't use the Donald Duck that often now, but I started seeing these rubber duckies all the time. So something just came in my head that I should look at the rubber duckies on the internet to see what I could find, Operation Rubber Ducky or whatever. So lo and behold, I put Operation Rubber Ducky, and up pops this Operation Husky. And this is all the Allied forces or whatever that hit on the island there of Sicily are supposed to congregate again there, but they're not telling it. Now, what I found is I kept looking at all the links regarding rubber duckies, and I found that these fellows who play paintball, but actually in the field, like guerrillas, these are West Point and, you know, other, I guess, initiates, are actually conducting warfare. Now, at the bottom of this link that I found under mcarterbrown.com, he's one of these fellows that's conducting these paintball sessions. And what he says is, I hope they get, you know, they've taken away our ammo and given us blanks. And at the bottom are sites in Sicily, villas that they can rent. So I thought, holy moly. I think I just caught on to something because I put the words rubber ducky, which is also a two-way radio, right, as a term.
Repeat that again, Haley.
Rubber ducky.
Yeah, I know. Rubber ducky, Operation Rubber Ducky. And what did you turn up?
I put in that they're going to go into two sites, M. Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, Brown.com, and another PBNation.com. And the guys talk to each other, and one guy says, I don't think I should really put this or send you this, but it was the amount of guys that they're thinking to land there. And let me just try to bring it up myself, so that I can show you. I thought, holy mackerel, why this is important is I tried to stop a fellow by the name of Gaetano Panapinto, who was the second in command after Vito Rizzuto. Vito was sent to Colorado prison. In the meantime, his father, Nick Rizzuto, was killed with a sniper rifle in his house in Montreal, right through the window. Night vision, a sniper rifle hit him square in the head. So he went down, and all the people that are going to the Quebec corruption inquiry are being killed systematically. So once they killed Gaetano Panapinto, I went in trying to stop it. That day, there was a stand down. I went in to see the chief of police, Fantino, trying to stop it. The next time that I found out, you know, the next person who took over the command of Gaetano Panapinto was Johnny Bravo. Let me try to bring him up. And he's been killed about 2 weeks ago now. that was Clyde's next target. When I found out about that was on Clyde's birthday. September the 10th. Now, I'm going to read you this to show you how important these guys are in the scheme of international, the drug trade. Still the French connection. Let me just try to bring you Johnny Bravo here. His name is Juan Hernandez. That's just, he had to change all kinds of names there. Let me just bring up. So he was killed in Sicily. He was sent to Sicily, deported there, he had to leave, but the cops thought he'd come back because he runs a lot of the drug trade here in Toronto, and he wants his money. But anyway, what happened is he ended up going to Sicily and making new contacts and new plans. I can't even find it right now. Let's put Bravo Mafia Sicily. So I thought, holy moly. You know, the main thing is why all of that stuff that was going on in Cyprus with the banks, it was all the mob money and the KGB money. So if they really wanted to do a land invasion and get a hold of all those fellows. Oh, here it is. I found it. Joe Bravo, not Johnny, sorry. Every time I click in there, my internet stops. I tell you, I'm hitting on all the right, on the right names, right? Wait a minute, I have to go in. But again, it just crashed every time I do it. Give me a second here.
Well, I think they're...
They know that I'm on to them big time. So anyway, that's going to be on the Operation Husky. If you look up Operation Husky, you can see that they've asked the Allies who participated in the Second World War to come back to Sicily on that date. Now, isn't that in funny? If they're really going to do a real big invasion and really get rid of the hierarchy in Sicily, because that's the sort of main country that's the sort of from the Asian countries. It goes into Sicily, from there it goes to Marseille, from Marseille it goes to the port of Montreal. That's the way that Johnny Pops Papalia worked the drug trade, and my brother was a courier there, got involved with James Earl Ray. He was scared, but he finally admitted to that, James Earl Ray, that that's what he was doing gun running and heroin, from Toronto to the Detroit border. My brother told me that he freaked out that they were almost caught because James Earl Ray started telling that he's got something to declare a secondhand television, and then the guy at the border was saying, okay, let's go through your car. Anyway, another guy came in there, probably one that was paid off, and they swept their brow saying, whew, that was close. So I don't know. Something's a brew. So that's why I wanted, to see if there's going to be a major land invasion there with guys who are party, participants of this paint.
Where would the invasion be?
Probably the same places where they went before. Why not do a repeat performance there?
No. Spell it out, Haley. You mean in Italy?
Yeah, in Sicily, because that's what, when they went into Sicily, that was sort of the center, and then they worked up from Sicily into Italy itself.
What are you talking about, an attack on the mob?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I think they're really gaming for. Now, the other thing that I thought is that they might do a major attack, and I started again putting in, you know, code words, and that's how I find these things. I just whatever pops in my head, trying to think, well, what are they going to use as a code word? And I looked up FEMA, but they don't really say anything. And anyway, I found it under a book under www department like dps.mo.gov. G-O-V. So what it is the 2012 to 2014 multi-year training and exercise plan for the state of Missouri. And under the code letters of CRI, then the other is SNS, St. Louis in June 2013. They're going to do a major exercise. I don't know how many thousands of people will be used to do an attack using anthrax and weapons of mass destruction. So I went in, took a look at where the heck is this St. Louis, Missouri? And then I thought, oh my God, when I was on the Cloak and Dagger show, I had looked up, you know, code words too, and I found the phrase in the belly of the beast. So Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri is almost in the center of America. If they want to do a major attack of some kind, full-blown attack using weapons of mass destruction, and that would be, let's say, the oil that's being shipped from the Alberta, you know, the tar sands project under Keystone. They're not telling anyone, but they're actually moving the oil, not through a pipeline, by rail line. And the CN, I don't know, in the United States, they've privatized a lot of these companies now, have bought it not under the jurisdiction of government anymore, but it's privatized. And they can move this oil or all these, you know, hazardous material through major urban centers. So when I took a look at the St. Louis map, there's a river. I think it's the Mississippi River or Missouri River. I looked at it, you know, like sort of quickly. But it runs right in the center of the city. And the railway lines run on both sides. I thought, holy mackerel. How I found that site was I put Operation Derailment. So it's all like I'm looking at the 62-day business again. And that's when I looked at the rubber ducky. It was the May the 4th, so I counted from May the 4th, May the 3rd, 2013. It would be July the 4th, 2013, that there'll be a major attack in some spot. So I figured the one I was telling you about with the Philadelphia, because he said, what's going to happen and where? And I couldn't come up with something, but then I thought to myself, it's all about the flags. The Boston bombing was all about the annihilation of the sovereignty of all the countries, and they symbolically took the flags and everyone could see that video. They dragged it on the center of the street. It was almost like saying, we're going to destroy all of the countries' flags, their sovereignty for this New World Order plan to come about. I thought, holy moly. So how else to get people riled up if they're going to go into World War III is to annihilate the flag, and where it's based, that the Stars and Stripes flag originated was in Philadelphia with Betsy Ross. So anyway, and then I just looked at what's going to happen there on the flag day. Exercises. If you just go into the tourism of Philadelphia, they say they do these revolutionary exercises. Imagine that. So I thought, oh, there's another one. But when I tried to say it with the big tsunami, thinking I could stop it, I couldn't stop it. It was like a go ahead plan. And why I think the railway agenda, the derailment is going to be in effect. On the National Post front page, again, approximately the same date with this train derailment, was the Inferno. Dante's Inferno is going to ensue. So something big has to happen. Like, everyone's feeling that there must be something imminent sooner or later, bigger than Boston, bigger than, you know, 9/11, something where thousands and thousands of people are involved. Imagine if they pollute the river. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. But anyway, they must want to do it just to scare people into submission, because people have been just asleep at the helm. I love your friend, by the way, Dennis Cimino.
Cimino, yeah.
I think the guy, every time he comes on, I laugh my innards, you know, apart, because he's so funny. How stupid are Americans? They're so stupid. When you said about the roadkill,
yeah,
that made me laugh. I couldn't stop laughing for, you know, like a half an hour.
Nice,
I kept thinking about that. He said, "You know what? That thing is still moving."
He doesn't mince any words, Haley.
No, he's so funny. I thought that's awesome. But anyway, your interviews have been quite informative. The one there with, what's his name, Alan Wiesbecker, that's very important, what he brought up about the security firm,
yeah,
and about O'Neill.
Yeah.
I mean, these are very, very important things that mostly, you know, like, you don't think about it unless you have a kind of like a session with some other input. It's almost like, think tank coming together of minds and, mm-hmm, you know, adding all these things up. But, something's going to happen. And that's why I try to find these cold things, and they flaunted right in your face.
Yeah, they do. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So everyone's got to be wary. Flag Day, the Bastille Day, which is the 14th of July, the 18th, and 19th in Missouri, and, you know, the 4th of July there. I don't know if that Adam Korkesh is saying, "Oh, follow me, let's charge armed."
He's got to be a provocateur, don't you think? At least trying to give the government an excuse to crack down on people with weapons.
Well, I'll tell you, again, I looked at the front page of the National Post, and it said they're not going to let any Occupy, any of that happen again. So if they do, they're just going to mow down all of the dissenters, because that's what they want to do. They want to find out who is, you know, anti the establishment there, anti the cabal. So I can't believe that, you know, that even got a few people to start dancing around there on the, where was it, Jefferson or Lincoln Monument? Somewhere he was dancing, and there was, mm-hmm, a video with Adam, and he had a few people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like a setup. He's almost like, you know, during the Vietnam era, they have these provocateurs go in,
mm-hmm,
and then they start, you know, making notes of who you are and what you're doing. Because,
yeah,
when I went to one of these, it was just something so hooky, I couldn't believe it. Homeless people were having a barbecue in the center of the city. It's a number of years ago. It was about 2004, I think it was, around 2004. And maybe there was a handful of people wanting to get grilled corn and hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest police presence that I ever saw. Snipers on the roofs, mounted police.
Where the hell was this?
Police.
Where was this?
Yeah, I'm gonna show you this. And what do I do is I go over to the lady there, I shouldn't have even done that, and said, "What the hell is happening here?" I thought, I was just so surprised, like why the police presence of maybe 500 police plus, because that wasn't counting the undercover guys, the plainclothes fellows, right? And I went up to one of the, I don't know if it was CBC or whatever, and I just asked, I don't understand what's happening. What's happening? Is somebody very important in town? They said, no, there's homeless people having a luau. I said, you're kidding. There's only about 50 of them? And I couldn't believe the amount of security, but the snipers on the roofs. So I noticed as I was sitting, I had cops taking videos of me because I posed the question. Like, I rolled my eyes, you got to be kidding here, you know. And then I walked up to a police officer who was sitting in a van, and I said, why are you doing this? There's hardly any homeless people. They're too scared to come and have a free hot dog. And he said, well, you know, remember what happened in the French Revolution? They lopped off Marie Antoinette's head. I thought, is this what they feed the cops, how to, you know, get the dissenters? We might have a revolution on our hands here.
Well, you know, I've often thought if there were a revolution in the United States, it would be like the French Revolution. That's really fascinating that a cop said that.
Yeah, well, this guy's under mind control. I just thought, I said, you know what, the biggest revolution that is here, how many of the mounted cops, and there was about 20 of them, left their, you know, horse doo-doo all through the park where children come and play? Who scoops that up, right? You really, I was just dumbfounded. But I found that they spent an awful lot of time. They always want to have me on footage somewhere because they know that, you know, I know their whole, you know, their whole lies and deceit. How many cities have unsolved murders, and how long have they been not solved purposely? Because they're all part of this, as Stu Webb says, this evil devil element. You know, they're all into it. I can't believe all these police officers, the higher the rank, the bigger the deviance. And I have that, which I won't get into experience firsthand what they're all about, these cops. They're dirt bags. People would know the revolution would come, you know, because we're talking here what Clyde and his cousin and, you know, of all the unsolved. I've logged, I'm doing almost slightly less than 1,000. This is a guy who's called a serial killer, I would say a mercenary. Learn to pull out the eyeballs of little girls, the 3-year-olds. That's why I'm so disgusted. I want the world to know that the guy who shot, who was sick enough to use that fragile bullet, that dumb bullet on Kennedy's forehead, right, who's threatened me all the time while he was manufacturing them night and day, is a child mutilator. Old ladies that he pulled the eyes out of. So not only did he pull out like the Charles Frederick Rogers' parents' eyeballs. Charles Frederick Rogers was an educated man. I had many a wonderful conversation with that guy. The guy was from the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, and he knew his business, but they sent him to do all this rough work, you know, into Guatemala because they wanted depopulation. He was part of the Iran-Contra with that Ollie North, all that stuff. And that's why, you know, Wally Tabinski there wrote that confession with a police officer from Los Angeles that he sees the forest for the trees. He was working on the wrong side. he probably mutilated so many people in Central America that it was sickening to him as well. At first, it's like a thrill kill, and that's what I couldn't believe it. They start on little kids. First, it was, you know, the animals in the backyard that I had to bury, the birds and the animals. I don't know how many, we're on the in the backyard where we lived there, 45 Marlboro. I really think that there's a graveyard in the back there. But then he starts on kids that are defenseless, you know, 3-year-old or 4-year-old little girls, 6-year-old boys. He's 13, but he learned his trade right quick and then became the most heinous killer of all time. I don't think I would rank him with Vlad the Impaler. That's what I would rank him with, because he's done all that. He talked about pulling the heart out of a person and then eating it. You know, oh my God, cannibals and everything. And I saw, like I said, too many of these murders where they, tormented me into silence if I said anything. And then when I went to the police trying to get them to help me as a child with my mother, nothing was done. Like I said, I walked, loaded my hands as much as a 12-year-old kid can walk to a cop at the corner who was posted there because the bank robberies happened almost on a weekly basis with them, doing the bank robberies. And like I said, he's probably the best bank robber in North America, better than any Dillinger Bonnie and Clyde. So at one point, I wanted to tell you, James, he wanted me to change my name to Bonnie. Can you imagine how corny? And then he asked me to even do a business card for him that would say, "Have gun, will travel." Mm-hmm. I said, "Why don't you get, with some other idea that's all been used before? Why don't you, inventive? If you invent all these modes of how to kill a person, from the." You know, I couldn't believe what he said. He would go in as a superintendent. He went in, poisoned people's food, used every type of thing from Carrera, which is that dart poison, which he told me that he would put into a mole or under the tongue so it's not detectable. Every manner of death and the suicides, what he loves to do. And by the way, this is where he's a seasoned pro. They get the contract, they give it to a number of people, and then the person who does it thinks there's two people, and he says, "Well, you do it, I won't do it," and then the other guy thinks that, he's doing it. Two guys are always caught up in that way, and they thought the other guy did it. They go into court, and then the guy says, "I didn't do it." And the other guy says, "I'm pleading, innocent because I didn't do it," and both didn't do. He came in and he cleaned it up, and they've thrown case after case out like that here in Ontario. One was Morris Lax. He beat a Jew with a 2x4, smashed the skull of the Jew. I thought, well, when I read that, Peter... your friend Peter, who talks about destroying bald Zionists. I thought, oh my God, if Clyde and Peter got together, they would be, pulverizing Israel into what was one of his last comments there that I was reading. Peter put glass in the desert, sand grains would be left of Israel. But anyway, he didn't even know who, because he's that ill-educated, who sits at the top, echelon, who was the paymaster. He only gets it from a lower person. But that's why they brought in the so-called French connection. But who said it right? And I've got to find that book. I think it was the book that, had LBJ talking about him doing it. I think it was this fellow forget the title of it. But anyway, what he said was when Jean de Montchild was interviewed there before the select committee, the assassination committee, she said it was the wild boys, three wild boys from Canada that did it. So she's speaking right. But there's others, too, that were, you know, because every single mob wanted to get a piece of JFK that day. So it's interesting because they all wanted to actually witness it as well. And where my brother was training with the sniper rifle was right by the property of British Petroleum, their private land that they had here in Ontario, where they had their own private shooting. No one even, you know, off-season, you're not supposed to shoot ducks. There's only a certain point that you can shoot them during duck season. But they were allowed to shoot year-round because they would have all their rich people there, and they had their own duck pond. And so, you know, if my brother was firing from high pine trees, he learned to shoot from up high. That's where he was at. They were all part of that hunt, you know, Lamar hunt, and that HL hunt, and BP. It's all the same oil boys. They make the money with the wars. So anyway, I read the article. It was very interesting. The one that your friend had written, was it Dean Henderson? No, it was excellent, yeah. But what I was doing,
JFK.
Yeah, I found another in my going through all the images. I've been slowly combing them name by name. And I've got another picture that you don't have, that you haven't displayed, Bush standing right behind the, Texas Book Depository there. It's very interesting because if you put these all, who the players are, and that they were all hanging around just waiting for this to happen and to make sure that they weren't arrested. So when if you just go into the one that I saw, that just Google search Roger Dean Craig. He felt sick to his stomach, you know, for all these years, because no matter what he said, he was fired from the police force because he hung on to what he said. I saw a Mauser is what we found, right? Good grief. But I think the worst thing that he feels ill about is that he didn't arrest Clyde and my brother as they were, you know, Clyde came down the embankment. Now, where you see the discrepancy is that video is very important of what he says on the video, where he's standing. The pictures are in that, the killing of a president, like I said, on that page, where they were standing at that particular time. And in Spartacus, they made that the guy came running out of the Texas Book Depository, which is wrong. On the video, he says he came down the grassy knoll. That's exactly what he did. Like I said, he waited until all the crowds kept coming up and saying, you know, where is he? Where did he go? And he just did a change of clothes behind that fence and then puts, you know, that went into the car. The car was wrongly, everything was ill used, right? The car was not named properly. The gun wasn't named properly. So I thought, I'm going to put a list of all the things that they did a double take on. And this is where this disinformation comes. I love that video because it has Cronkite saying how many times, you know, over, you know, with other news media from all over saying the same thing. They repeat it, Mauser, Mauser, Mauser. The next day it's Manlicher, Carcano. But what makes me laugh is Cronkite can't even pronounce it right. So if I made a mistake with Gene DeMorn Shield, right, here's this top media person can't even pronounce the gun properly. But anyway, you're doing excellent work. I can't believe the drive that you have. But the scope of what you've accomplished with the Veterans Today articles is mind-blowing. That your last article, I couldn't believe that. You know, you're taking the bull by the horns.
The anti-Semitism, anti-anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I thought, holy moly.
Could you believe the Senate voting to violate the Constitution for Israel?
Well, like I said, they somehow came right into the country, all these dual citizens, and it was when you did that interview with Friend, when you had that Cohen, name that Cohen fellow, and I looked up, it's drawn on Wikipedia that this guy has his alliance to Israel. So what the hell is he doing here in America? Go to Israel. What the hell? So they've gotten right into the Department of Homeland Security. They've gone into the police forces. They've gone into the government big time. So it's just a matter of time that they'll be waving the Israeli flag, never mind the, you know, American stars and stripes there. So that's what I think it was all about. I was like flabbergasted. That Americans have been idly watching all these stupid sports games, you know, year in and year out all the time with the football, the baseball, then the hockey, and on basketball, while this alien slime ball Zionism, Peter says that.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Crept in here?
It's unbelievable.
And we let it?
It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
No, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, we might as well cry in our spilt milk here that we've let it happen.
Haley, I think you should not send me anything by the Internet. You know, don't do the attachment. Remember, we talked about doing that once.
Because they're monitoring every
everything
that I'm on the Internet. Every time I press on this. And if I hit on these right code words, because this is how this came to me with this tsunami thing, just out of the top of my head, I said it one right after that, the attack on BAM Iran, and I said on Cloak and Dagger, I said, stay tuned next year, same date, but different locale, and I said in Jakarta, Sumatra area, and boy, I was dead on the button, and then that's the one attachment I do want to show you because it's right blatantly in the masthead of the Toronto Star. It says,
well,
Black Tsunami.
I think it's probably okay if you mail me anything. I think that's probably okay.
Okay, because that's what I want to
show
you.
Think you should do it on the Internet. It's too much of a hassle, you scanning and then attaching and all that.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, because it's cost me. I had to do that for the cops.
Yeah, don't do that. It's too complicated.
The cop said to me, do you have any money? And I said, well, I want to show that I'm going to solve all these cases with a $200 a month budget after I pay my rent.
I know. Isn't it ridiculous?
I mean, where do you guys think?
Ridiculous.
No, these guys are, they want their platinum pensions. They don't want to do any work. They don't want to solve any of these cases, because it's too much for them. But what it would come out is, this is the liability. Imagine the assassin of President Kennedy riding on a streetcar every day, putting the Toronto public at risk. And he killed, like I said, that Wendy Tedford, Donna Stern. They were riding the bus with Clyde. Clyde calls himself Clyde the Ride. Can you imagine? Once you get off or on the train with me, you never get off. He said, remember there was a song, and you'll never return, and you'll never return.
Yeah.
On the subway. Jesus Christ. And I couldn't believe it. One day, he's got what he calls a dysfunctional. These people that used to come on the streetcar on the Queen Street Bar and ride from from a long ride right to the sort of end and then go back again because they had nothing to do, and then they'd go back into their insane asylum for the night. So one day I was calling Clyde on the cellular phone. I hear this whacking sound he's like doing. I said, "What's that? What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm taking the track changer and I'm hitting it against the streetcar seat to give that dysfunctional, an indication of what I'm going to do to his head if he doesn't get off." That's why he don't stop.
Jesus.
I thought, well, how many have you taken the track changer? It's like a huge iron crowbar, but it's long with a loop, to change the track to the streetcar. And that's what he used to kill people, right on the streetcar. He says he's killed many of these dysfunctionals that don't have any relatives.
Oh, and then for God's sake.
And then the guys there at the end of the line, the guys that work repairing, are bikers, and then they use the hose to clean the blood and the brain matter and whatever off. He said if people would know what was going on. So when I started yelling at called the organized crime unit. There's supposed to be a secretive group here. And they said, well, he clocked in, he was working. And I said, do you have a camera on the streetcar? Do you know for a fact, where he was at any particular time, whether it's a bank robbery or whatever? You don't know what's happened because you don't have any, cameras. So it's probably thanks to me now, all of the security around the city, because they finally got footage of him there as the ATM robber, right, under person of interest, ATM, the ATM torch gang, and they put it up with him, the person of interest. So a few bits and pieces where they've got the sucker's face, finally, right, and the Volter bandit. The last, like I was saying, they wanted the whole of North America to know where he's up, and the young rookie cop says, oh, he's changed his modus operandi, his M.O. Oh, really? Well, he's doing whatever kind of crime whatever he feels at any particular time, whether, slamming somebody's head in with a 2x4 or that track changer or whatever, or doing cyber crime for China or Stinger missiles or you name it, he's done it. Everything. Like, I can't even get into all the stuff that he's gotten into. But I saw it firsthand since I was a kid of 10. So I followed every single day. Now, like I said, as being elderly, at first, as a child, he called me like I was a frightened doe, like a frightened rabbit all the time. Now I just laugh because I thought, oh, who's protecting this diabolical, demon? Who and why? And they don't want this to come out, because if it came out that he's perpetrated in Ontario alone, serial killer of 1,000 people unsolved to this one individual and his cohorts, this would be the biggest liability case in the world. Everyone would be screaming. You mean to say this piece of, he calls himself piece of work, they call himself or call him a piece of shit. This piece of shit was driving the streetcar and the bus for 30 years, James, here in Toronto, putting the Toronto people at risk. Because when you get on the streetcar, like I said, a lot didn't get off.
It's just it's astonishing, Haley. It's just dumbfounding.
No, it's beyond words. It's beyond any kind of comprehension that they've never even gone into it. And they don't really want to go there because they know how serious it is. And the guys in York said, why don't you go and see the FBI, because I'm sure they want to have that case solved. Oh, yeah, right? I was looking at all the people that they interviewed get that. That's one of the other things that I noticed on one of the videos, that they did a tape of Eugene, what was his name now? He changed his name to, is it Baden? But he had Braden. Braden.
Oh, yeah. Eugene Braden Jim Braden.
He changed his name quite a bit. Now, he gave his interview, and they have filed it away for 50 years. Hello? Like, is someone out there again? Why are we letting the government hide all this stuff? Why? Because they've been all part, each of these, whether it's the Dallas police, they were all corrupt, getting, as Clyde said, they would get their Parma ham. Parma hams is what the Dallas police guys would get. And that's the way he said that the cocaine trade came in. The Parma ham cans have a rubber lining, inside the ham. So it was certain ones that were marked that had the cocaine, and they would come through the, that tried route all the time through the St. Lawrence River port of Montreal. That's why they're fighting for that port. That's why these mob wars there. That's big time, billions of dollars, the drug trade. Scary stuff, but let's see where it goes. But anyway, how have you been yourself?
Okay, very busy. I was out in California giving a talk, and of course all the articles and interviews, and I'm just really relieved to hear from you. I'm just real glad.
Yeah, I've been a bit ill because I was thinking I just have to get strong myself and think I've got to, figure out some game plan bigger than theirs. You have to be a midget against a giant here. And I thought, I've got to somehow figure how to beat them at their own game. How to do that, right? They've got the money. We don't. And the American populace, I don't know if they're that willing and able to do anything. Like, what are you going to do? Write to your senator? They throw your letters in the trash can. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean,
what a joke.
It's a joke. Get this so you'll know what's going on here now in Toronto. The government, the provincial government, has got a problem with the deleting the emails, and it was the cost that superseded what they said. They started lying. So now the other, like the conservatives or whatever, they're all, yelling at the liberals that they want to have the OPP, that's the Ontario Provincial Police, come in and do an audit. I mean, now they're auditing the senators because these guys, put everything just sort of like what's their name? What was that lady that even put her girdle on?
you want to call me about every 7 to 10 days or so.
I will.
I want to know you're okay. I was really worried here because it's been like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't go out for quite some time because I don't know who's out there, and then
you're very smart about all that. I trust completely. So if I don't hear from you, I'll know it's for a good reason.
Yeah, no, I've been reading. Actually, I've been up every night reading all the articles on Veterans Day diligently.
Wow.
Yeah, I've gone back into maybe two years past, but I love the comments.
Wow.
So I'm getting acquainted now to all the people that have put their information on there, but the wealth of information that's on the site is mind-boggling. That's why I found
it. Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You have such an appreciation.
Yeah, I do.
I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I couldn't believe some of the
Let's talk about some more next time.
Okay, so in a few days or whatever. Yeah, I've got to send you that cobalt bomb thing because that'll support you even physically showing that when you go to California. Okay. So I've got to send you that.
Okay.
I've got three articles, and I'll send you the ones.
Okay.
That'll put an end to anyone saying, hey, they couldn't set this up. It was easy. It was a piece of cake.
Haley, you watch yourself, okay? You take great care. Great care.
I will. All right.
Great care.
Sleep tight.
You're wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye now.